Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I believe that this is Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy, and I believe that the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing at this time.
Okay. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Can you please, for the record, please state your name and your ADC number?
My name is Jared Jamie Morris. EOC number 201997.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on October 1st. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was sworn in when I was in CDU in Winslow.
Okay. And that form listed your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Are you representing yourself today, or did you hire an attorney?
I am only representing myself today because I don't have the mutual fund to obtain a lawyer.
All right. Well, even though you can't see us, since we're doing this by telephone, I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing.
I can barely hear you. I'm pretty sure you got the speaker, but...
All right. Is that any better?
A little better.
Come right into my microphone here. So we have four members of the panel this morning that will be conducting this hearing. And you can't see us, but we have the Honorable Mr. David Neal. We have our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. We have the Honorable Louis Quinones, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chair for this hearing. We also have with us today our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Osborne, and he represents the Department of Corrections and your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, before I get too far, we also have two guests in the room. We have Ms. Nora Morris and Mr. James Morris. I believe that's your mother and father.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Mr. and Ms. Morton, are you going to speak today? Did you want to speak, both of you? Okay, all right. So, before we get started, then I need to swear all four of you in. So, Mr. Morris on the phone, and Mr. Morris here in the building, Mrs. Morris and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Morris on the phone?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Morris?
I do.
Okay, Mr. and Ms. Morris? Mr. Osborne?
I do, ma'am.
Thank you. All right, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and phase two to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Mr. Morris, I'm going to read information from your warrant. And as I read each allegation to you, we'll need you to respond in one of three ways. I see that there's a DR number, which means there are charges pending somewhere. And in the event those charges relate to your warrant, they may. As I read each one of these, the two allegations, you have the option to answer that's true, that's false, or you would like to remain silent, which is your right. And the reason we allow that is this hearing is being recorded, and if there were if there was additional court action, this recording could be subpoenaed and used against you. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yeah.
Okay, and the board will make the final determination as to whether or not you violated the conditions of your supervision. So let's start with phase one of your hearing with the two applications. And here is the first allegation, that Terrence Morris has violated the conditions of supervision and is lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition of supervision number 6, as demonstrated by your being in possession and control of a firearm on or about August 26, 2017 in Indian Wells, Arizona. Mr. Morris, is that true? Is it false? Or do you wish to remain silent?
That's false.
That's false, okay. And the second allegation, Mr. Morris, is that you violated condition of supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in assaultive behavior on or about August 26th 2017 in Indian Wells, Arizona. Mr. Morris, again, is that true? Is it false? Or you remain, wish you remain silent? The allegation number two states that you're in violation of condition of supervision number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in assaultive behavior on or about August 26, 2017, in Indian Wells, Arizona.
That's false as well?
That's false as well. All right, well, since you're saying both of these allegations are false, we'll take some testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we'll be right back with you. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. If I may note, both allegations are the same, so if I could just read one to cover both, ma'am.
Please do. Thank you.
Thank you. Allegation number one. On August 29th of 2017, via Officer Iris Jazzy, badge number T740, called and advised Officer Jay Cernan that Defendant Morris Terrence, ADT number 201997, had gotten into some trouble on August 26th of 2017 in Indian Wells, Arizona, and was being charged with aggravated assault. Officer Yazzie stated on August 26th of 2017, Offender Morris went to Navajo Housing Authority, house number 7, to confront Andrea Boyd and Elizabeth Sines with a gun. Andrea and Elizabeth both told Officer Yazzie that the Offender Morris had a rifle and pointed it at them. Audrey Morris struck Offender Morris in the head with a tire iron, at which time Defendant Morris fled the scene. On August 29th of 2017, Defendant Morris reported to Snowflake Pro Office, where he admitted to going to NHA number 7 to confront Andrea and Elizabeth, but denied having a weapon. Defendant Morris was arrested by parole staff for parole violation and then was transported to ASPC Winslow Complex.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Morris, although you state that these allegations are false, we have testimony from the Department of Corrections. So to move this hearing forward to phase two, I'm going to make a motion based on testimony from Department of Corrections and information in warrant number 2017W3024 that I'm going to move to find you delinquent as you violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Thank you. Mr. Morris, just give me 1 second to fill out some paperwork. All right. And we will... Thank you. Mr. Morris, we're now going to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move on with that, please stand by as Mr. Osborne will give us some additional information. And we'll be back with you in just a moment. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Morris was released from BOC custody on August 8th of 2016. He was arrested on August 30th of 2017 at the Northern Regional Pro Office of Snowflake on a tech violation and was turned back to custody that same day with 0 abscond days with a community supervision ending of February 6th of 2018. Current conviction, 2009, aggravated DUI, 9 years. And 2009, aggravated DUI, 9 years. Prior convictions, 2005, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2005, aggravated assault, 1 year. And 2005 resisting arrest, 1 year. He's had 2 terms with DOC, had the CUIR score of 2-2, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is no SCG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2006, TIS completion, 1 month, 10 days. He has a moderate disciplinary history with smuggling and promoting prison contraband noted. Other arrest, 2003, disorderly conduct, AZ County Jail. 2007, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2008, DUI, liquor, drugs, vapors, combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a community risk score of G4, V5. And I do have status of charges attached from, for Officer Jonathan Cerna, dated Wednesday, October 4th of 2017. States that Amy Morris is pending tribal charges for assault with Dilcon Courts, and his next court date is October 25th.
All right, back to you, Mr. Morris. I have a bit of a case supervision summary. It's pretty short here, but it looks like you were living at NHA Housing Number 8 in Indian Wells. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was living there, but I go to work. I was maybe staying in Flagstaff. I stay overnight, and then I come back on the weekend.
Okay, and was that all, your parole officer was all aware of that?
Yes, he was well aware of that, and I reported to him, and I would always show him my check stubs.
Okay.
When I'm working and stuff like that, throughout the whole year that I was out, I was working every month, so I produced a valid income to him every month.
Okay, and where were you working? This information we have doesn't show that.
I was working for a company called Intuition Electric, Flagstaff, and I also worked for LCR, and I've also worked for on-call staffing. I was going to go back to work for LCR on August 28th, and that's when I was supposed to go back to work again. I was off for a while due to me and the owner of the NJ Shama Ledger because of my income, and you know, I took 2 weeks off of it, and then I called back my old company, and they hired me back, and I was supposed to start on August 28th.
Okay. And what do you do? Are you an electrician, or are you?
I'm an electrician, and also I'm a roofer and a carpenter.
Oh, those are great skills. Okay, so you have a lot of good. You've got a lot of good job skills. That's a long commute, though, all the way to Flagstaff.
Yeah, I usually stay. Sometimes if I don't have the means or the income, I stay at the shelter, or I stay right there in town at a motel.
Okay. All right. And it looks like in your history, looking back at your history, it looks like you have a couple of, the current charge, which is aggravated DUI, but you also have another DUI back a ways there, a couple years before that one. Was that for alcohol use?
Yeah, I went through a little bit of alcohol problem, you know, back then, but I changed a lot, and, you know, I'm well aware of what I've done, you know, but, you know, on these circumstances, you know, I fully didn't even do none of that, you know, and I was wrongfully accused. I was the one that was assaulted. I was the one thrown to the hospital.
Well, Mr. Morris, we're that issue we won't discuss because it's being recorded,
yeah,
and the charges are still pending. But so alcohol has been your main problem. Have you used any other drugs or just alcohol?
Just drugs. Okay. I've changed a lot. I've changed a lot, you know.
And how about you? Tell us how you've changed.
I've changed because I work a lot. I pretty much, my work was more, I was more into my work now, you know, because I went through a rough relationship where, you know, it kind of got to my head, and, you know, I started drinking more heavily, but now I'm just like, I don't even care about it, you know, and then, you know, I'd rather take care of my family, you know, my little sonny boy, my nephew is all I care about, and my mom, my dad.
Right, and they're here today, so. So you work a lot. What was your relationship with your parole officer?
It was good. You know, I never lied to him. I know when he asks me something, I do it. You know, if he wants me to go take behavioral class to go to, like, see psychiatrist, I did, you know. And I still continue seeing him, whether he didn't tell me not to go or anything. I still went to go see Derek House, you know, about the situation at hand with me, and, you know, how do I go about these things, and, you know, he talked me through it, and, you know, but with Jonathan, I never lied to him, I never said anything, he's a, you know, pretty cool dude, you know, I never had no discrepancy with them. He told me to show up, but I didn't. No, I didn't run or anything like that.
All right, good. Well, that's a good thing. Parole officers like that, when you show up when you're supposed to.
When he tells me to show up, I show up.
Good. So Mr. Morris, do you use alcohol anymore?
No.
Have you been to treatment, alcohol treatment?
No, I didn't go to treatment, but I've done modern treatment while I was in prison.
Okay. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. No? Ms. Neal?
Mr. Morris, why did you go to was unit number 7 where the two women were at?
I didn't even go to that house, but I was even remotely close to that house.
Okay.
It occurred.
All right. Yep, that's fine.
Anything else? Any other board members? No? All right, well, we'd like to hear from Mr. and Mrs. Morris, if you'd like to come up. Would you like to speak? Just come right up here to the podium. And then tell us your name, because this is being recorded.
My name's Nora Morris.
Thank you. And what would you like the board to know?
Well, I'm here because, my son's back in prison, and he asked me to come out. He wrote to me, and he indicated that the reports that he got are not true. Because, he lived with us. And that day that all of this happened, we were on a business trip. My husband and I would do silversmithing. We'd go all over the place to sell. So that's where we were when we came home. He wasn't home.
We just have to be a little bit careful because anything we say about that, it's being recorded, so keep that in mind.
Well, I didn't know.
But we can, because he did not plead the fifth. That's what we can.
We can.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, please,
thank
the
you,
fifth,
Mr. Chair. Okay,
plead,
then.
But he asked me to bring his check stubs, and I have those here. He worked for LRC, the roofing, and
right.
They pretty much paid in cash. That was like a personal friend that he worked for and his license. And then the company that he worked with was the staffing that he worked for all year long. And then into the electrician, the company that is like a subsidiary or however they do. So he was working there for the person that, that is out working. He's out there running around like the way they write about him.
Right.
And to me, the Navajo Nation is not credible. Police department, all they do is go back to the criminals and the drunks, and they're all there. That's who they get their information from. And then the parole officer, I don't see why he didn't even mention his employment. So, that doesn't give him any clout that it makes him sound like he wasn't doing anything but being out there.
Yeah, thank you, because the board does understand that he was working. I mean, I understand that.
To me, that's not credible.
And it is noted in the crime notes from the browser that he was working.
Okay.
He just failed to put it in the
it
board.
It just didn't get on there.
In our notes, he was working in all those places.
Yeah, he was being paid a fee and everything else, for that. So with that information, I feel that the sources that you got are not credible. Living out there on the reservation.
Sure.
And whoever these people are the ones that assaulted him. Yeah, they're at large.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you'd like us to know?
And he's never owned a gun. We don't even own a gun. And that whole place where we live at, our house is fenced in, so we know where our boundaries are. But those people's homes, they're just, out there to me, that's not trespassing. You know, the whole Navajo Nation is federal land, so it can't be anybody's land. So, all right.
And the unit number seven is would be the unit right next door.
No, it has, there's a seven here, R7, and there's like three complexes. So, okay. Which seven?
This is just saying where the offender was was residing at housing, NHA housing number 8. And then this,
we live in 8, there's an 8, there's another 8.
Oh, so it's not necessarily just right next to each other. Okay. All right. Thank you.
So, you know, to me, that's not credible information, is what I can say. And he's just being railroaded back into where he was when he's trying to do this.
Any questions, yes, Dr. Ray?
Yes, ma'am. I think I heard you when you said that when y'all returned from that business trip, you and your husband, when y'all returned, he was not home. Was that what you stated when you returned?
On the way back, we got a call from the hospital. We didn't know who was at the hospital at the time. And I said, this is a hospital number, because I worked in Flagstaff. And the next day, he's the one that called us at home, and he said, I'm over here. That's when we found out about him.
So he was in the hospital in Flagstaff while y'all, when you were away, am I? When you were on your business trip. Yeah. But when you got the message, he was in the hospital in Flagstaff.
Yes, and the Navajo police officer, nobody even told us where he was. And we had to find that out from neighbors.
So he did not go with you on the business trip? He was not with...
No, because he's tired on weekends when he works. He not only works this, he does other jobs, other hobbies that he has, like wood cutting.
Yes, ma'am.
And working on a vehicle, things like that, that he does.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anything else?
Yes, thank you, Madam Panel Chair. Ma'am, do you know the individuals that are accusing him of this crime?
Yes and no. Like I said, the police just gets their report from whoever's been drinking that night there, whoever deals drugs there. That's who they go back and consult. So what's credible about that?
I appreciate what you're telling us, ma'am. I'm just, again, we say this many times, we're certainly not here to try that case. We're just trying to get as much information as we can so that we can make an effective decision as board members.
And the person that hit him over the head is still at large, and he's the one that almost bled to death. So they didn't tell us anything about that.
Any other questions for Mrs. Morris? Thank you very much.
Ms. Rusnow, so I actually have a question for our...
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Morris.
I recognize that we get very limited information regarding the police incident.
Yes, sir.
But is there any reference to a rifle that was recovered?
That's what I...
Pardon me, ma'am. I need to ask the parole officer.
Listen, I see nothing in reference to a rifle was recovered. I believe it was just witness statements that they went by. Nothing's written down about that.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you again.
Thank you, ma'am.
I just want to also say that I went to the police department to ask for a report. None of the officers were ever there. I asked for the investigator twice, and she never came. So... You know, I was running into dead ends. Okay. Did you want a copy of this?
No, it's okay. Thank you. Thanks, though. And did Mr. Morris want to testify? Please say your name.
My name is James Morris.
Thank you.
And what else?
Just what would you like the board to know?
Oh, okay. You out there, Ben? That means good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Terrence Morse, he's my son. I love him so much. And, you know, I like him to, you know, be around me, you know. But, you know, and he likes to work all the time. So he's over there, and then when he gets home, he's tired. So I just leave him alone. But he's still there. Say, hey, Daddy, that's heavy for you. Leave that alone. Let me take care of it. He always said, you know. And then his little nephew, you know, we have a little grandson, two of them, two boys. So they're always playing with them, too. But, you know, when he gets paid, he always buys something. Toys, candy, take him out to Pizza Hut, you know. He's that kind of a person. He's a really good person. So so I've been just got used to him again, you know, talking with him. So that's that. And then over there at NHA Housing, that's what they call it, Navajo Housing Authority, that's where we live for about almost 40 years, and then we pay off our house. And then they start building here and there, you know, that's why there's three numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what happened. And then the NHA people, they tell us to take care of your house where the land is. So that's what we did, is, you know, go out there and then pay the fence people, American fence. They fix our fence. And then the other ones, we look around, you know, it's just there, you know. You can just walk into their yard, you know. But, you know, that's that.
So your son wasn't living with you? He was living with you?
Yeah, he was living with us. We could help one another, keep an eye on one another.
Okay.
So then,
right.
So that's, you know, and then the gun that you guys talking about, where did that come from, and then where is it at? I got to see it. Right here, right in my face right now, but you know, they don't have it. And then these police over here and on the reservation, if there's a problem, you know, you try and call, say, oh, they're all busy. That's what they say. So, and they never show up. And then when you go to NHA, to the office, you report, say, hey, there's a problem there. Say, go to the police. And then they point one another. You know, that's no-no right there. You know, somebody might get hurt just like what happened that we're talking about, you know. So so that's what I'm thinking. So I went to Winthrop, to main headquarters, to NHA, told the head leader over there, the boss, said, okay, I'm going to call them. Never happened, nothing, you know, talking about the trash, the dogs here and there, you know. You know, it's kind of hard, you know. So me and my son and my wife, we were talking about to go back and then live where we usually got raised. We're going to build a home. That's what we were talking about, you know. So all those people, you know, they... Right now, you know, when Terrence got back in, they're all looking at me and kind of smile away and look around, you know, they think they're all it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to all those evidence that those four that they're talking about, Tyra or whatever, you know, it has to be there, you know. These policemen, you know, they're always on the bad side.
I understand, and it's not our job to try that.
Yeah.
Our job is just to figure out if Terrence Morris is going to be. We want him to be successful on community supervision. So that's what our job is here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So is there anything else about his supervision?
And then when he got back in, and then his boss called, said, "Where's Terrence?"
Oh, you had to tell them, yeah.
Yeah, I have to just tell them. So but the job is still waiting for him.
Okay, that's good.
That's it. And please, it's good to be here talking with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always good when there's employment, when there's a job. You know, that's always a good thing. It sounds like he's a very hard worker. Do any of my fellow board members have any questions for Mr. Morris? Mr. Osborne?
On top of the employment that wasn't listed, also what was listed, every time he came in, he was given a blood alcohol breathalyzer test. Because in the area, there probably isn't a TATS nearby.
Right.
And each time it was negative, he blew 0-0-0. Okay. I just wanted to know something positive on top of that. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Morris.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Terrence Morris on the phone. I do have one other question. I see here that you were referred to, I don't know what Indian Health Services, I'll bet, in Winslow on August 8th, 2016 for substance abuse counseling. Did you go do that?
Yeah.
So you completed that? It looks like you were referred to substance abuse counseling in Winslow on August 8th, 2016. Did you complete that?
Yeah, I was going there. They never told me I was completed or anything, but I talked to Derek House, and he said he can come in anytime he wants. He has his own discrepancy now. If you need to talk to me about anything, that's what I've been doing.
And how often do you go over there?
What's that?
How often do you go there?
How long did I parole to anywhere else?
No, how often do you go for substance abuse counseling?
I go I feel the urge to go get, I don't know, the temptation really comes to me, so I go talk to him or I call them on the phone.
Okay.
Right. He talked to me, and for pretty much my job was with my substance abuse counselor. So I would work 20 hours a day sometimes, and that was what I really needed.
Okay, thank you. And now, Mr. Osborne, is there anything in the Carlin notes about substance abuse counseling?
Yes, ma'am. In February of 2017, it is noted that he did complete his counseling.
Oh, good. Thank you. That's good to know. I missed that before. Well, Mr. Morris, we're getting ready to, the board's going to go into discussion, but before we do, I wonder if you have just any final thing you'd like to tell the board without repeating something you've already told us before.
You know, I would continue to do, any type of substance abuse or anger management when I get out. You know, I got to see also, medically, I got to see the doctor, because I have to sustain a head injury pretty severe, where I get migraines now. Migraines to where it's hard for me to sleep. I cough and turn. I get dizzy spells. I'm on the lower bunk right now, and I talk to the nurses here. They can't issue me anything higher than morphine or anything to help me sleep or oxycodone, because this is a substance abuse prison. So, I really need to see, maybe a real physician, somebody I could talk to, and while I was in CDU, I wasn't given the liberty that I slept without a blanket, hygiene-wise. I didn't get anything for, 2 days, I didn't get a shower, I didn't use the restroom, none of that. But, I really needed to see, someone for my head injury, for get an MRI scan as soon as I can, because I got tingly feelings in the back of my head and the front of my head, and it's hard for me to speak sometimes, and I don't even have glasses on, and I have a continuous headache, that's all, pretty much. I want to look forward to that, see what else I can do, if there's a treatment for it, and stuff like that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. The board is going to go into discussion now, Mr. Morris. And while the board's in discussion, it may sound like we're talking to you, or it may sound like we're talking to your mother or father, but it's the board talking to itself. We don't discuss cases in advance. We do all of our discussion right here, and we observe the open meeting law. So if you could just, all of the Morrises, if you could just, you certainly could listen in, but the board's going to go into discussion, and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Just hold on a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
This is an interesting case, and I'm, you know, based on the Morris's, all of the Morris's assertion that the event did not really take place, and it's one of those, I don't know exactly how to approach it, because we have sort of documentation through this warrant that it did take place. So I'm struggling with that a little bit. It sounds like Mr. Morris is aware that alcohol is a problem for him, and it appears that he's doing something about it. He has one period of truth and sentencing community supervision that he successfully completed in 06. He has good family support, that's for sure, because they are here. He says he had a good relationship with his PO. We don't have any evidence to refute that. So with those items stated, I will just begin the discussion and ask for any input of my fellow board members. Mr. Neal.
Well, because there are accusations, allegations made through a law enforcement agency and it's still pending, we have to use that as our evidence as to what went on out there. If it's adjudicated, even if it's dismissed, doesn't mean that there wasn't something going on. And Mr. Morris does have a head injury, which is consistent with the police report of what happened. We don't have the report, so we can't make any judgments on whether there was a gun involved or not, whether it was recovered, whether there's evidence or anything else. We have no way to document that, but the allegations were made by a law enforcement agency, and that's why Mr. Morse was revoked in the first place. And we're not here to try that case or anything, and we really basically have to go on face value of what the PO and what the law enforcement say. So
yes,
I'm in favor of releasing him back to community supervision at this time.
Dr. Ray, Mr. Quinones?
I think that I do respect what our distinguished board member, Mr. Neal, has stated. I think that the board has to make a determination that did he violate the terms and conditions of his supervision. And I'm going to just say that there were some positive things that we did hear, even from the Department of Correction, based on those kernel notes. He had all those UAs and they were negative. He apparently was going, well, he completed that substance abuse training program of counseling according to the kernel notes. I think, I don't know how to put it and I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I think in situations such as the environment that they lived in, I'm not sure how reliable some of the sources were. I'm just trying to be very diplomatic about it. And for that particular reason, I am leaning, this is not my total final decision, my final vote, but I'm leaning towards giving him another opportunity, but I would prefer this into other board members.
Mr. Quinones?
It's moments such as these that almost, there's that swing vote feeling. But
that's why I spoke before you did.
What's up?
You said swing boat. I said that's why I spoke before you did. So I'm going to be that one. You can be that one, sir.
Well, thank you. But I do want to say this as an individual voting member, because I've said this before in past hearings, that we have to take the information that's brought to us on face value. At the same time, here comes the delicate part. Even though I recognize we're not here to try a case, to indict a case, it is hard to tell in this particular investigation whether or not Mr. Morris is a victim or a perpetrator. And based on the fact that he, it looks like that he was on community supervision for a year, that he was, at least to the best of our interview, that he was attending substance abuse counseling and that his UAs were clean. And I'd say the meaningful supporting testimony of his testimony of his family, I am open to giving Mr. Morris another chance. I recognize that it's a unique situation that they're living under in the reservation, and I'm open to that based on his behavior leading up to the incident.
Correct, correct. Thank you. Thanks, fellow board members. I'm going to make a motion then, based on information in warrant number 2017-W3024, information from Mr. Osborne from the Department of Corrections, information provided by Mr. Morris's parents, and our discussion with Mr. Morris himself. I'm going to move to continue Mr. Morris on community supervision, and we will add some amended, I will look at the back here, add some amended conditions. I mean, the standard conditions will still apply, and the alcohol testing will continue as it has because there's no task. So we'll just, however that's done in that area. And then he's, I think alcohol is going to be a continuing problem for him. So at the parole officer's discretion, some kind of substance abuse, continued substance abuse treatment. So we will add that. Mr. Morris himself mentioned anger management. So I would like to add that. Where do I add that, Mr. Quinones? Where do I add that?
I think you can just put a star under successfully complete treatment program. Okay. A star under there, and just
put anger management. Okay, so we'll add anger management to that as well. Right. Okay. I'm doing that right now. Anger management. All right, so to restate the motion, the motion will be to continue Mr. Morris on community supervision with amended the current conditions, which those will all continue, and that at the discretion of his parole officer, he will enter and complete treatment program in substance abuse treatment and also a program in anger management.
Could you also include our usual one, and that is number six?
I'm sorry.
PO discretion. Maybe you've already included it, but.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. And also that revocation process would start immediately upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. Mr. Osborne, did you have?
And if I may, ma'am, recommend for the state, no contact with a victim of the current offense.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Thank you.
And we would add that here. I see that. Okay. And that would be, that's the people identified in warrant number 2017-W3024. So that is my motion.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. Sorry, so wandering.
Agree.
Disagree.
All right, Mr. Morris, you heard the discussion. Your community supervision has been continued, and you continue on community supervision. You noted that we added continued substance abuse treatment and your management, which you suggested yourself, and we certainly agree with that, and that on the first, the absolute first, indication of a missed, unsuitable for testing, unexcused, diluted, anything unusual with the UA, that will start immediate revocation process. Can you live with those conditions, sir? Oh, and the other one, I'm sorry, no contact with the victims that were involved in this incident that's discussed in this warrant on August 26th. Can you live with those conditions, sir?
Yes, I can.
All right. Madam. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, ma'am. One more thing. I just wanted to understand. So our current charges, it doesn't say whether they're felony or not, he could be paged too, which means upon release, he may be picked up from the nomination at the gate if they choose to pursue charges and keep him contained while the court hearings are proceeding.
Okay. So, Mr. Morris, did you hear that? Did you understand that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Morris, today, and Mr. Terrence Morris, thank you. Please don't let us down.
I only got a few months left, and, you know, that's all I wanted to do, and complete everything, and so to serve my community and society that I am a changed person.
Very good, and make your parents proud as well as us. Thank you very much for participating today. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Morris, and this hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place.
All right.